Hello and welcome to the Cruel Summer Podcast. My name is James.
And I am Marco Sparks.
And we're back to talk about Season 2, Episode 2 of Cruel Summer, entitled Ride or Die. They're really going with that phrase. It wasn't really popular in 1999. How did this episode grab you, Marco?
Yeah.
Well,
I thought this was worse than the first one. The leaps of logic were fucking stupendously
baffling. I would agree with that, and yet I felt like there was at least something happening in this one as opposed to like the kind of nothing that happened in the pilot. And there was slightly less of Steve Chambers. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, there we'll get into it. But there's a whole lot of like, wait, what? Is that how that works? I don't think that's how that works. Yeah.
Well, it's just I don't know. It's not like a character made, you know, the wrong decision and they're going to pay for it. It's like the writers made logically a stupid decision.
Or just created alternate reality.
Yeah. Straight up, let's just say other shows, for season one of this show would have really hit home that it's not the kid's fault for the sex tape. It's the person who recorded them. Season one would have been all about that. But this show... couldn't you have just said that they made it during the summer when they were dating?
Well, not only that, but like...
there's no reason for her to take the fall for Megan.
The idea that someone has to take a fall is
stupid. Yeah, exactly.
Stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just stupid. Like, that part of it's stupid. And then the fact that like there's like consequences at school, you're suspended, that's even more stupid. And
well, yeah,
then, like getting harassed like by like other people in town, you know? Like, it's quite obvious that like no one in their right mind would like... shoot that video and then play it in public, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's clearly not their fault.
There's no consequences at the school for your sex tape. It has nothing to do with the school whatsoever. Other than the principal was at this part. I mean, like, when she comes in at that scene and she's like, oh, I just talked to the principal for an hour, she wants to expel
she
you.
Wants
I'm
to
like,
expel
what,
for being, you, yeah.
For being awesome? Like, for
one more screw up and you're expelled. Like, why? Why does the school have anything to do with this?
Yeah.
And also, like, you can say it's like, oh, it's, you know, 20 years ago, like people weren't as like sensitive. Like, no, even then that like, yeah. It would not like people, it's been well known that like some kids have sex in high school. It's something that happens, you know, like we had plenty of teen pregnancies in the 90s. It was not that
we had shit happening on campus and that
there'd be like, oh, so-and-so hooked up in the elevator, you know, like,
yeah. But like outside of school, none of our fucking business. We couldn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Whatever. This is pre Kim K, but they're not even really getting into.
I mean, this is post
the cultural mores or anything,
though, right? Like,
yeah, it should be. But and the other thing, I'm gonna wrap this whole episode up in 5 minutes and not even get the whole details. But like, you can't make my boy Jeff a non-character and then make him your suspect number.
Oh
one.
Yeah, I was like, dang, they did Jeff dirty in this episode. They're like, suddenly he's the creep with the video camera.
But it's like, that's he's not a character.
Well, he is now. Now he's the creep with the video camera.
But I mean, like, he's not even there to like be a creep. He's like the off-screen creep of a video camera. And so when Megan's like, it's not his style, I'm like, I don't know who the fuck Jeff is, man.
Well, seemingly from the first episode, it was like, oh, this is the guy who just like likes to film everyone. Even this episode, he's like taking pictures, like doesn't come off as like, you know, lecherous or whatever. But I guess that's how they're playing it now. I think they're trying to imply that like he had a thing for Isabella and she rejected him or something like that.
Well, even more egregious is when Isabella says, I think it's Jeff. And Megan's like, his stuff's way more professional.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start with this.
Written by Matt Morgan, directed by Laura Nisbet Peters.
Matt Morgan, and like these are both like some freeform people. I think Laura just directed on Norbuck's show, Sweet Magnolias.
And Good Trouble and the Fosters and Fire Country, which is I think where Tia Napolitano went. Here's Matt Morgan's filmography of writing. Monkeys, Sirens, Hellstrom. From Dusk Till Dawn, the TV show. I mean,
yeah,
get what you're
doing. Good. I know that what Meredith is on that show. From
I've heard that it went to interesting places, but
okay, so no,
yeah. I mean, it's a Canadian sci-fi show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you never know. Sometimes Those Canadians can have a good season or two, like that one Continuum show that I love.
Let me tell you what, man. If I had more time, I would totally do a Canadian sci-fi TV show podcast.
Would it just be like a different show every episode?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'd want to do like maybe two seasons worth of Continuum, but then like the show really falls off a cliff.
Well, I feel like the fun thing about it is we would just cover a single episode of a different sci-fi show every week. And so it's like, if you're into Continuum, we'll get through it in 4 years. I mean, like, just the multiverse of Canadian sci-fi actors that just hang out in Vancouver blows my mind.
What's the guy's name? It's like Terry something, Terry Chen, I think. That dude's in everything. I love that guy. He shows up on The Expanse for a while.
Oh,
he was on that Continuum show. Yeah.
There's like at least 15 sci-fi Canadian actors, like Lexa Doig.
Yeah, yeah.
And then how many times do they pop into like an episode of The Flash?
Yeah, you know, they'll show up. Who was the one, like the real like all-star of that? His name's like Rob or something like that. But yeah, we could do a whole podcast just on Canadian TV.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a fucking simple time.
It'd be kind of fun, actually. I don't know, because I wish they made more shows like that, just kind of high concept sci-fi that's like somewhat serialized but also episodic, and you know, it's just like a show you could relax into rather than all these like completely awful 6-episode series shows that they insist on making now.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion.
Talk about my boy Carlos, who was almost Superman.
Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah, he got passed up.
Yeah. No, he didn't get passed up. He turned it down.
That's right. He turned it down.
He didn't want to do a three movie.
But you know what? Maybe this isn't a cruel summer podcast anymore. Maybe it's Canadian sci-fi podcast.
Sci-fi TV shows. So this episode takes place on July 1899, December 1899, and July 18, 2000.
It's like a day or two later, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, from the last.
Well, time. So we find out that the bulk of the teen characters haven't seen Luke since the New Year's Eve party. Mm-hmm. And I thought, fucking A, I've got to get through like 12 more days of this character.
Yeah. I mean, we go through a few days in this episode. So I'm trying to think like how it'd be hard for them to stretch it out more than like the 7th or 8th episode, I would think, you know?
I think the 8th or 9th episode is called The Miseducation of Luke Chambers, which is what a pretentious title, but I assume that that's
how was he miseducated? Sorry.
Yeah, good question. So speaking of my boy Jeff, like the previously on has a real awkward reminder that he's a character.
Hey, remember he's Jeff?
Barely not a really, character.
No, yeah.
Well, because he's just like this like little clip like, hi, I'm Jeff.
I'm the older brother character.
Oh yeah, fucking Brent. Well, Brent, I take it back. Brent, the actor is not, he doesn't have that thing enough to sell the sleaziness of Brent.
Yeah.
Not that they're writing him great. I don't even have the time to get into, or the strength to get into Lisa theories.
Oh, the mysterious off-screen Lisa? Yeah. 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 I feel like they could do something really interesting with Isabella, but I suspect that they won't. It'll be like a much lamer version of it instead.
All right, So you posited that this would be like the Isabella pilot from last week.
It was. I think I'm claiming that I am right in that. This is much more Isabella focused.
So who got a better introductory episode? I got to say, I almost think it's, even though nothing happened, I think it's Megan.
I
got a more of a sense of who Megan is.
I suppose Isabella is still somewhat of an enigma. And she also continues to not read to me as like international and worldly. She reads to me as just a regular old American teenager. You know what I mean? Like, she's kind of outgoing and like a little bit frisky, but yeah, I'm not getting like, oh wow, she's a diplomat's daughter. She's been all over. It really doesn't seem like that at all.
They're not selling me on she's enigmatic.
Yeah. I mean, the writing isn't there and she's seemingly is being directed just to be kind of like, I don't know, outgoing, you know, like they're definitely not like having her do anything that would suggest, you know, like not from around here.
Well, but you're not pulling off like a Tom Ripley level of like social manipulation and maneuvering when she's just like, hey, you really like that Radiohead song you played the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering, like, there's like kind of hints of a single white female, like Tom Ripley, like, you know, like psychosexual something. But I'm like, you're just not, if this is where you're going, you're definitely not selling it. And no, I kind of think you should be if that's where you're going.
For sure. Z's. But yeah, I just really like the way you hit play on High and Dry.
Yeah.
Good job, you. Anyway, summer 99. We get this voiceover because she's writing a letter. Dear Lisa, hope you're having, you're somewhere amazing as you read this.
She's writing a letter. Like fake or
dead.
Dead or yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, she's writing this letter on the bed. And she's like, dear Lisa, I'm writing this to you from a trailer.
What's the song here? Is this like lit or?
No, this is worse. This is worse. This is probably the worst character ever. This is Rob Thomas and Santana Smooth.
That's right. It's Smooth. Yeah, they're hitting them all. It's really like they went and got the rights to like the Now That's What I Call Music 1999 or something like that.
That's what I call like the shit from the 90s. Although, I will spoiler, our Nepo baby alert for this week is Tal Bachman.
Who's that?
He's one of the guys. He's the She's So High guy.
Oh, okay. Right.
They play it later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so she has the people in this town look her like she's an exotic creature from another planet, which makes it like fun to mess with them. I feel like there's a more interesting comment to make about like I'm like the third black person any of these people have ever seen in their lives.
This line struck me as really weird because it's like, oh, they treat me like this and this exotic creature from another planet. And then she's like, I think I'm really going to like it here. It's like, why? That's kind of like sounds awful to me. But
Yeah.
I feel like they're really just brushing over any sort of, you know, like you're one of like three black characters on the show in like a very white town in the Pacific Northwest. We're just not going to touch on that, I guess.
Just like, but like lean into making her a horrible person. You know, she's going to enjoy it. Like just let her relish in being horrible. But things are still frosty of her and Megan to the point where we see Megan, like at one point drives off the property, like ignoring Isabella calling to her. The way they even shot and blocked that, I just thought was lacking.
Yeah, it's a little odd because it's too much to one side. I don't know how quite to describe it, but like the camera doesn't pan as much as it should.
And the actress, I didn't watch all of Little Fires Everywhere. I think she's the daughter in that, but like I didn't watch
Isabella
it
or Megan.
Isabella.
Okay.
And I remember her being better. Anyway,
I feel like they're either not giving her anything to play or they've intentionally told all these actors to like be as vague as possible.
Yeah.
You know, so that like people can have lots of different theories and we're not going to like really define you until later in the show. Like that's kind of what it feels like.
That, but also I wonder if there's just a lot of like, look, we haven't broken the end of the season yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give us some wiggle room.
What kind of car is this that Megan is driving?
It's like a convertible of some kind, right?
Geo Golf or something. Yeah, it's like a convertible, a two-door.
So winter 99, Isabella comes out of the Airstream. There's a bunch of inflatable fuck toys around her place, like a long inflatable penis, an inflatable like, doll with slut written on it.
She was, you know, exposed in a sex tape, and now there's like just an insane amount of weird sex toys and kind of like, you know, like hate messages left for her. Like, who is doing this?
Who was the time? Yeah. The strong reaction to the sex tape. Suddenly this like very puritanical town. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I feel like more likely what she'd be dealing with is a bunch of sleazy guys who suddenly are hitting on her.
Yeah, yeah.
Summer 2000 at the house, Isabella goes outside where Megan's just like sitting on the porch, like staring at the water like a psychopath.
This is it's presumably right after they found the body of what's his face. It's Luke.
Yeah.
Or the, just that amazing line delivery from Steve Chambers, episode one. It's Luke.
I had to go back and rewatch the ending of that episode. Mm-hmm. The way that they sold to us, the audience, it was
such a dud.
Yeah, the way they sold to us, the audience, that it was Isabella on the tape. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, I don't know. I think you and I both just kind of bought it. That's what the show was saying.
At the time, I was there ever like a character is like, oh, it's Isabella. And I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. You know, but yeah, well, I have a lot to talk about as far as that's concerned, but let's get through this scene first.
Isabella says that they both said things that they shouldn't have, but now that Luke's body's been found, people have been asking questions, and she's like, you can't shut me out forever. In response
and
to Megan's
that, Megan's just like, watch this.
Yeah, piss off, bitch.
It goes inside and shuts the door.
Yeah, so that's the title card then. Summer 99, Debbie is showing Isabella how to crack open an egg, which she's just not getting. This is like a basic breakfast. that's being made here.
Well, she's showing how to do like the one hand crack on the side of the pan and then kind of open it with one hand in the frying pan. And Isabella's like, let me try. And just like slams an egg against the side of the counter and it like breaks and falls on the floor. Like, wow. Yeah. Okay.
It's like a fucking Three Stooges joke or something. Isabella is saying how in Tunisia they serve a breakfast dish of eggs and a spicy tomato sauce. And Debbie's like, wow. Like the way they have her deliver some of her lines, she's just like, oh, you ever tried blah, blah, blah? And they serve in Tunisia. It's,
Is this all like, are we on the right track because she never actually went to these places and she's not a diplomat's daughter? Like maybe that's why she doesn't seem particularly like experienced and worldly after all. I don't know.
I guess it's just, is your spidey sense doing something when she calls her mom later? I don't know.
It's, yeah. I mean, they're setting up something. I just, yeah, who knows what.
Your little sister's getting some OJ. I don't know what I heard last week. Her name's apparently Lily, not Ellie.
There's a really bizarre thing here where Isabella's like cleaning up the egg that she like spilled on the thing. And then she just like turns to Lily and is like, hello, Lily. Let me tell you all about boarding school. And it's like, yeah. This is like very strange, like exposition.
Thank God you're here. Yeah, we find out that Isabella doesn't have a ton of friends everywhere. She went to boarding school, met people, including Lisa, who's our best friend. And we find out Lisa's totally a real person, that she is funny, smart, incredibly ambitious, and super driven and a total control freak. And Debbie implies that sounds a lot like Megan, and Lily's like, yeah, but they're not friends.
Ooh.
And Isabella's like, sooner or later, she'll crack, you know, like eggs.
Mm-hmm. I'll crack it.
Can we be more on the nose of making breakfast and cracking eggs? God damn it. So later, Isabella goes up to Megan's room and goes through it. And Megan's not there. She like, runs like, her...
Turnabout is fair play here as she...
Like running
around.
Her fingers over the CDs and the keyboard keys.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know what you could have done, though, if Megan had a more interesting style? Certainly, you could have opened the closet and had her run her fingers over the dresses or something. And then you'd be like, okay, there's something happening between these two.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to transfer souls or whatever. But Megan has two computers.
Yeah, if you say so. I don't know. She has a job.
But why does she have two computers?
I don't know. Neither of them look like Macs.
No, it appeared that. Well, do you think Debbie can afford a Mac?
Even well, Megan's job. I don't think Debbie's paying for this. I guess I think if anyone's paying for it, it's Megan.
Hmm. So it also appeared that Megan forgot her wallet. So winter 99 in the kitchen. Debbie comes up to Isabella and says that she just spent an hour convincing Chris Bowers not to suspend Isabella. And again, for what? Being young and awesome.
But. Why would she be suspended for that? Somebody illegally showed like a private video of hers. Like why would you ever get suspended for that? I'm sorry. It's like a fake conflict that the show is introducing to be like, uh-oh, she's on her last strike.
Well, like they forced Debbie into an interrogation scene of Isabella later. And it's like to remind the audience that Debbie is there and that she cares about this girl in some fashion. She gets a little tough with the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's like, okay, you entertained an hour-long conversation with the principal. Like this is a 2-minute conversation at that. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're thinking about expelling your exchange student. No, you're not. Bye. But yeah, she's like, it was the whole town
saw you having sex. Yeah. So am I suspended?
But
she
more accurately,
probation at school. Yeah.
More accurately, the whole town saw Luke having sex.
Mm-hmm. Is Luke also on probation?
Is Steve Chambers spending an hour on the phone with the principal? Or is he working that quote-unquote Steve Chambers charm?
Well, and this whole like, oh, I don't know if that's going to be enough to convince Megan to forgive you. Like, first of all, in theory, that is unforgivable. Unless it was like, oh, that tape was from before we were going out. Like, there's no other way that's forgivable at all.
Yeah.
Like, period. Like, it's like, oh, that's a sex tape of you cheating, you know, with my boyfriend. Like, that's not like, hey, bygones.
Like, Spencer Hastings would have just slapped these two around, like, in, like, boot camp for, like, lying to authorities. Summer 99, Isabella shows up to the diner/bar where Megan works. Inside, Megan's behind the bar. She may or may not be making drinks for patrons.
What did you think about they do a shot where she's, like, framed in the circular window of the doorway? And before she comes in, I don't know. It's like occasionally they're trying to do something here.
But. Well, there's like a reflection shot with Parker and Isabella later. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think is going on. I think that you've got some directors who know that the writing is bad and they're just trying to interest themselves with some of the shots. But Isabella's brought Megan her wallet, but she didn't realize she was without. So wait a second. Megan's like, did you go through my room? And she's like, oh, I thought it was a Chatham Way. At least
the real, just this, like in your fucking face look from Isabella here.
That's what the subtitles say. Some of the lines of the dialogue in this episode I found to be unintelligible. So Luke shows up and calls out for Megan because he wants a large steak and provolone sandwich to go. He can't even order a sandwich cool.
Large steak and cheese. Steak. Okay.
Yeah. But he sees Isabella and jokes that it must be bring your exchange student to work day. This guy's got no charm. Like, no game.
He's got the kind of charm that like a spoiled rich boy has, basically.
If that. Mm-hmm. So Megan and Luke start talking. His plans for the day include a pool and some PlayStation. But Isabella wants to be fun, so she changes the order to a dozen subs on her. And she's decided they're going to throw a party at Luke's. And like Megan has a good, like, Jesus Christ look on her face.
It's very presumptuous, you know, yeah. Just be like, we're having a party. I guess she has the money to pay for all those subs. Also, there is a line about like, carefully don't get a cramp. I feel like maybe that's, you know, hinting at something later. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Luke decides that sounds fun. Asks Megan if she's in. She's like, maybe after my shift. And without looking at her, Isabella says, you know what? No pressure. Megan knows where to find us, which I guess she's just like pushing on this thread to force Megan to come out and come to her.
Or just like, I'm going to stick it to you. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Winter 99, Megan's room. Megan's like sitting on like a beanbag chair, whatever, like watching the sex tape as Isabella brings her a tray of food.
Yeah, because remember she took the tape at the end of last episode. So,
yeah,
and she's watching it, and like Megan's there, and immediately they're like, "What? Why would you two be in a room watching this sex tape?"
Well, so first you don't know what's going on because Megan says, "I have to watch the whole thing," you know, and Isabella apologizes again. She's like, "You already did it a million times." It's like,
well, so why is she apologizing?
Yeah, you think we're still following the narrative of the thing? Mm-hmm. And then on the tape, we see the girl turning around and get it from behind, and it's Megan.
Which just, what?
Yeah.
Like, we in the first episode, we couldn't even really see who the girl was at all. But somebody's like, it's Isabella. So it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Megan is a blonde with very pale skin. Isabella has darker skin and curly hair. Like, how are we mistaking these two for each other at all? Like, why would anyone think it was Isabella to begin with?
Yeah.
You know, like, it would be, if everyone thought it, assumed it was Megan because it was the dude, we'd be like, okay, but like, what? I don't understand why anyone made that logical leap in the first place. Is it because is it like a location maybe?
The bad lighting?
No, because it's at Luke's place, it looks like. There's like a fireplace. I was going to think like maybe if it was in the little trailer thing. But,
no, it's the cabin. Yeah.
Yeah, so why did anyone think it was Isabella to begin with?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's like, it's a cheat, basically. It's like, ooh, we fooled you. And it's like, well, no, you didn't. You said it was one person, even though we had no way of knowing whether or not it was. And then now you're like, haha, reveal, it was somebody else.
A TV show is somewhat like a person in its first episode. It mm-hmm. should be telling you without telling you, this is the rules of engagement. Mm-hmm. This is how I will be with you. And here's what you can trust and not trust. The show has said, I'm bad at what I'm doing. They're never going to be able to trust what
they could
you.
Have done a thing where they really established like certain characteristics of that trailer. So we knew exactly what it looked like. And then maybe someone was like, oh my God, that's Isabella's room or something like that. And so it's like, oh, it must be Isabella. Like they could have done something like that. And then like, haha, reveal it's someone
or
else.
Or she's wearing Isabella's hat or something.
Or they've done like a weird single white female thing where they both have the same hair in that timeline or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, Megan had a Rachel Dolezal face.
Yeah. But like something like there's no explanation for why you confuse these two people. They look nothing alike at all. That's, like not in any way.
That's Isabella's horse head mask that she wears during sex. Yeah, it's
like she's also wearing a name tag that says I'm Isabella.
But like on top of it, there's that thing where it's like you've got your it's almost like an Original Sin thing. I haven't forgot about Shitaka in that show where you had a somewhat interesting hook at the end of the first episode of that show, and then at the beginning of the second episode they're like no, throw that out, we can't do anything with that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's never it was
oh yeah
never
remember
Isabella.
We're gonna kill what's her face.
Yeah,
that really went somewhere. Fuck that show. I really hope that show gets canceled. I know it's mean, but I'm crossing my fingers. Like Zaslav, like come on, you're just axing shit left and right. Film the whole show and then cancel it. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, Yeah, I'd show up to the next graduation speech that he does and be like, he's not that bad.
He did cancel Original Sin, guys.
I mean, yeah, the Batgirl move was kind of dumb, but which makes the less annoying. But okay, so
then, even worse at the all the like, how do you confuse this? Next scene, it's I think we went to a commercial there as we like freeze framed on her like getting railed from behind. And then we come back and she's like, as soon as Principal Bowers finds out it's me on the tape, she's going to call UW and they're going to revoke my scholarship. What? I'm sorry. There's three very wrong things here. Why would the principal ever find out who's on the tape? Like what possible method would there be for that? Number two, why would she call the college that you applied to? Number three, why would the college revoke your scholarship for somebody illegally leaking a private sex tape of yours?
Yeah.
Like, why? None of this makes any sense at all.
Also, just a reminder,
it's like completely fake drama.
This is child porn.
Yeah, yeah. No, why would the principal be watching it? Why would UW care? Why would they call UW?
Yeah, but I mean, if somebody went and told Principal Bowers, you could go to the Principal Bowers and be like, "You don't know that unless you've seen the tape,
mm-hmm. which you shouldn't be watching."
That's child porn. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't add up even in the slightest. I remember when watching Spider-Man No Way Home, the whole like he gets like rejected from MIT because he's like revealed as Spider-Man. That's like, I could maybe see that because, you know, maybe that's like a lot of like, you know, attention and potential danger you'd be bringing to your campus or whatever. No one is getting rejected from a college unless it's like, I don't know, some private Christian college or something,
right?
Because somebody else leaked a sex tape about him. Like if they had said, my dream is to go to this very religious like school with all these like strict moral codes, then you'd be like, okay, yeah, maybe then you wouldn't want that getting out. But like, UW, they don't give a shit.
No, they don't give a shit at all. Yeah. Even back in the 90s. Yeah.
Filming 10 sex tapes a week there.
They probably have a class for it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's like, do you know the history of Seattle? Megan feels like she will like lose everything and be stuck in this town for the rest of her life. So Isabella suggests they keep the secret, let everyone continue to think that she slept with Luke and call her a slut. Megan doesn't want her to have to do this. Isabella says, you're like a sister to me.
The obvious solution here is to say, oh, that was like before we started dating. That's when that sex tape was from.
Yeah.
And that's why we're very like embarrassed about it. But we're not like hating each other. You know,
I'm saying that to myself the entire time I'm watching this episode. And then later on when the sheriff is interrogating her and he's like, so let me understand this. You guys did date. You and Isabel and Luke did date last summer for a short time. It's like, fucking bingo. There you go, you idiots. But like, I think part of it is, and I don't know if they're going to do anything of it, Isabella has this fucking weird martyr complex.
What's the worst that could happen? People call me a slut. I can take it.
But also, this is a way to like trap Megan into more of a friendship with her. Like, you're so beholden to me. But her line of dialogue is, it's what best friends do. Take bullets, give kidneys, take the blame for a sex tape of your boyfriend.
I'm not going to let that stupid tape destroy our future, even though that would never happen.
Which, like, it should be like, oh, okay, beat. And then Megan's like, wait a minute. Then how the hell am I going to spend time with you and Luke in public?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's always going to be like attacking me the way they attack, you know, to Hillary, Huma Abedin, or whatever.
She's like, got another line here. You're the most important person in this world to me. It's like, wow, okay.
Ride or die isn't just words. We actually mean it, right?
They don't start saying that for another 10 years, but yes.
Isabella, well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe Isabella's a time traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Isabella's positive that Meg would do the same.
Don't
tempt
me with a more interesting plot line. We know that's not going to happen.
And she says, it's how we roll.
Ride or die. Sure, whatever.
So summer 2000, we're in the sheriff's office. This scene is fucking dumb too.
Yeah,
we see the nameplate that the guy has a name. He's Sheriff Jack Meyer, which, man, talk about just like generic character name.
Yeah, we've got Jack and Luke and Megan.
Some other cop comes in with because we can only afford like one other cop. So this guy will be in three scenes in this episode. But he comes in with the coroner's report and he's like, check it out, Sheriff. We got a clunky exposition dump.
Cause of death is drowning. There was an abrasion on this ear suggestive of a gunshot wound. How? I don't know. Okay, sure. Yeah.
No penetration.
Did it penetrate? No.
Toxicology says he had a bunch of benzos in his bloodstream, either painkillers or muscle relaxers. So we're told by the sheriff here, whoever did this wanted to make sure that he went in the water with no chance of coming out. I don't know if I trust you on this show.
I mean, the muscle relaxing thing, I think that's going to come back. Like, that's something typically like a woman would have. Like, I don't know if they're setting up for that. Like, maybe they could make this sheriff a character, and like he kind of hones in on that and like, you know, harasses the girls because of that. I don't know. But so far, not a whole lot of interesting police work here.
While they are different things, I don't think it's a coincidence that we get this piece of information here. And then later on, we see that Megan has a bunch of pills in her bag.
Mm-hmm. But there's also the weird thing with the pills later with Isabella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe one of them was injecting a cyanide in somebody's apple.
So there's this shot of like the family car with, is it Debbie, Megan, Isabella? Isabella's riding shotgun. That's weird. And yeah. Lily in the back seat. It's, I think this is supposed to be like the front of like the gate to like Luke's yeah. family's house. But like the way it's shot, you wouldn't know that.
No.
It's like shot in this really weird way where we're looking out at the drive up. Instead yeah. of like, I don't know, at like the gate to the Chambers Manor or whatever.
Well, because the problem is that they have used like three different locations mm-hmm. for this house. It's kind of the problem I had occasionally when we were really diving into the beginning of PLL with the Hastings house.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I'm just like, where you're filming this exterior has nothing to do with these exteriors or this interior. But yeah, they're like, what also, but like, where else, I guess, it's not perfect blocking, but where else are the two girls going to sit? Like, Megan doesn't want to sit next to Isabella.
I mean, I just would think that, like, I would get the front seat if I were Megan, personally. I don't know.
Probably, but I think that there's a whole thing where Isabella's kind of stepped up to be Debbie's number one daughter.
Yeah, I guess. They're not really selling it, but I think that's what we're supposed to get.
Yeah, so they're, like, looking at people setting up shrines to Luke. Isabella's super jaded about how everyone will jump on the grief chain. She compares the dude's death to Princess Diana's death.
I assume we're going to find out that somebody in Isabella's past has died. Like, otherwise, this is a really weird scene.
Well, but the teenager perspective of nobody cared about Princess Diana until she died, that's not exactly true. And that's kind of why she died.
She was literally being chased by paparazzi. But yeah. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, her and Megan share a dirty look in the rear view and then drive on to what we'll later find out is the Chambers property. Match cut. There's some weak match cuts in this episode. Match cut to summer 99. As Luke is driving from the diner thing, he's see his face in the rear views. He's giving Isabella a ride to his place. He asks what made her come to this town. She's like, I've always been more about people than places.
This is like child. Pure grifter talk. Like, no, there's no reason to come to this town.
Yeah.
If you're she's supposedly only this, you know, kind of like globetrotting daughter of an ambassador.
Yeah. She's an only child. He wishes he was an only child because of his brother, Brent. Everybody remember Brent. She says that Debbie's letter was really persuasive. I doubt it. She's funny and warm and talked about Megan and Lily. Isabel loved the vibe and the pictures that she sent, no, which is suspicious.
No.
Yeah. At Luke's house in the backyard, Brent is cooking some meat on the grill of his quote unquote girlfriend, who was super confusing. I guess she is indeed his girlfriend currently, Parker.
Yeah, Parker is like becomes a character in this episode. She's just kind of standing around in the last episode. But yeah. She's like, I want to say like fourth or fifth build. So presumably she's important.
Yeah. Brent's like, plenty of meat to go around. She's like, nobody wants your meat. He's like, nice try, but everyone knows that you're a carnivore babe, which, okay. This couple hates each other.
Mm-hmm.
Luke and Isabella show up with their bag of sandwiches. By the way, there is like a ton of people. There's only like nine people here because that's how many actors they can afford.
Mm-hmm.
There's like nine people here already with food.
And what, they're cooking steaks.
What is, did they call from the restaurant to say we're having, like, how did people get there before them?
Also, the size of the bag that she has looks like it could contain no more than it's like six sandwiches and like not very large ones. Like,
maybe four.
Yeah. Maybe 4 foot longs. Like, yeah. What happened to the other eight?
But I mean, is their house like 45 minutes away from town?
Well, this was the 90s. Like you couldn't just text someone and be like, yo, no. Pool party.
Yeah.
You would have to do this like 2 days in advance. You'd be like, hey, like at school or something. You'd be like, hey, everyone, we're planning to have a party at so-and-so's house in a couple days. And then people would just show up.
You would have to call everyone's house. Mm-hmm. Their parents would answer. The parents would put you on the phone. You could page them. There's mm-hmm. no pagers, the site.
The pager know. Thing feels a little, I don't know, maybe it's like a year too late for that, but I feel like we could see a few.
It's still, some people had it, mm-hmm. yeah. And you could always do the joke where Brent has two pagers or yes. whatever. So therefore, he's suspicious. But yeah.
Or Isabella does, you know, like some mystery to
yeah.
her.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she'll reach into her bag and pull out just this giant brick cell phone.
No, this is like the StarTAC era. Like she would have something like that in theory if she was a globe-trotting diplomat's daughter.
So they did that fucking 90s show on Netflix, but that was the second attempt at a 90s show, which there was one, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Wasn't that an 80s show?
Was it an 80s show?
I thought it was that 80s show, I remember.
Either way, in the commercials, they had all their jokes at the time, which is the guy on the giant cell phone, and he's like, it's called a cell phone, only $8 a minute. Mm-hmm.
The one detail I like about this dumb pool party is there's these like dudes fighting with those noodles in the pool. That was definitely something you did back in the 90s, those foam noodles.
So there's two dudes, Freddie and somebody else. There's Jeff. There's two baby oil girls.
Should you rub baby oil? I mean, I guess like people like wanted to get tanned back then.
No, it's an incredibly naive thing to do. Yeah. But I knew a girl who was light blonde, mm-hmm. pale with freckles, and she would put baby oil mm-hmm. on herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she learned the hard way that was not a great idea.
No.
But yeah, Isabel's like, wow. And Luke's like, well, if you tell one person something in this town that everyone knows, referring to the party, which I get, but there's a lot of people who are not only coming to this party, they are already in the throes of the party.
It's like they showed up late to the party. Yeah.
And it's presumably, I mean, like, were you making seven other stops on the way home? What the fuck? Did you eat like 10 of the sandwiches before you
got there? You just fucking housed like five of those things. Yeah.
Which is, look at Luke. He can't fit a sandwich in him.
Steak sandwich, too.
This dude is a pool noodle. Anyway, there's two dudes having that vicious battle of the pool noodles. And one of the guys, I think it's Freddie, yells, last one is a pathetic virgin before he jumps in the pool. Which is
I was waiting for like a line here. Like, I don't know, like some sort of entendre or something to close out the scene. But no, it just cuts.
Yeah. 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 In the words of Barbie, you appear to be directing entendres at me, and it seems like they are double. Winter 99, Megan's house outside the Airstream. Megan and Isabel are talking about shame and having it or not having it, and how terrible people are.
What is this thing we're panning around? Is that the car at the beginning of the shot? I don't know. It's a trailer. That's what it is. They're lighting this thing on fire with lighter fluid, like right outside the trailer.
On grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got the sex tape. They're pouring lighter fluid on it. It seems like a great way to cause a huge fire. I mean, turn this into a gender reveal party. This is how California burns.
Yeah, Isabella says, like, they can't shame me if I have no shame to begin with. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And she's like, I get it. Americans are prudish about sex.
Sure.
Meg doesn't want Isabella to regret this. Isabella says she won't. No one has to find out as long as the truth stays between the three of them. That is so naive and dumb. They wonder who might be responsible for this. Isabella immediately thinks it's Jeff because he is scorned, we're told.
It's weird that this is only coming up now. It's like, who would, you know, not only take such a video, but then like play it in public? And why would they do such a thing?
Like, what is the level of scorning that my man Jeff suffered? Like, mm-hmm. Did he come to ask you out with the video camera and you took the video camera from him and you filmed him as he asked and you filmed yourself turning him down and then you played that tape to the school? Well, what the hell?
From the winter onward, it doesn't seem like Megan has any interest in like dating of her own other than maybe with Megan. It's like she's just like Megan's like BFF for life, but like otherwise doesn't seem to have much motivating her. I don't know.
Isabella.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. It's like Megan has no interest in dating besides Megan herself. And I'm like, get it. Isn't that what hackers do? They kind of date themselves.
Yeah. Get one of those machines.
Yeah. So she lights a match, tosses on the VHS tape. And I would love if the next scene, that house was just burning. But summer 2000, Debbie and the three girls like walk in the backyard of the Chambers house. And they're like, where's Steve? Debbie says that she talked to him an hour ago. So, okay, they're coming out of the house, right? Like they've gone into the house. They're coming into the backyard.
I guess so she has a key.
Yeah. Though they do not seem to be connected to each other at all, like in the one scene that they share in this time period.
Yeah.
But yeah, Debbie said she talked to him an hour ago, that he'd be here. So is it an hour away? Is the house an hour away? Anyway, cut to Brent, who's chilling in a lounger and says that Sheriff Meyer called him down to the police station. Brent says it's because Luke didn't just drown. They think he was murdered. We see that Megan is shook by this news and Isabella is just narrowing her eyes like Arya. Mm-hmm. So
next scene, commercial. We're still in summer 2000 and Isabella is on the phone. She's packing and she's like, I take any seat you have on the next flight to Paris. From where? From the Chatham International Airport. But then
you got to get your ass to Seattle, girl.
And then like just all of a sudden Parker walks in and says, you know, oh, I've been dying to go to Paris. Take me with you or whatever. And it's like, but it's like, I don't know. There's like a weird vibe between these two. Like Parker's kind of like suspicious. I don't know. I don't really know what we're supposed to make of this scene. It's like clear that these two are like more friends than they were in the past or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But like they don't know each other at all. Anyway,
maybe they do. But yeah. And then Parker's like, I'm afraid Paris is going to have to wait because I heard from somebody who heard from somebody that the sheriff is like asking questions. Like, I don't know. It's like, what are you, a fucking cop now? Like, go where I want until I get an official order.
Yeah, seriously. You could just duck the cops until Tuesday. Yeah. Get on that flight. Isabella opens up a drawer next to her passport. There's a picture of her, Megan, Luke during happier times. I think it's from the end of this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we're not even like opening the drawer and there's like four passports. You know what I mean? Or something interesting.
Although we get some Lynn Steal My Sunshine here as a digital video of Isabella walking out at this party in summer 99 in a bikini. And this is Jeff filming, which I'm taking this all to mean that like he's really into Isabella because he's kind of like shooting her. And there's a couple shots where it's like kind of up close in her face.
Also, Brent is making the kind of hunch punch in the back that's going to have you vomiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's mixing like light and dark liqueurs. I don't know what he's doing there.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like making the rounds like she's running for class president. To Brent, she says, that looks intense. And he's like, intensely awesome.
I really no need a 2-4, whatever.
Yeah. Like he's
Brock. Reed Rothschild.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess having no game runs in the Chambers family. Mm-hmm. So she goes up to these two girls and like, who are like lathering themselves up. And she's like, oh, your suntan lotion smells so good. And they're like, it's baby oil. It gives it the best tan.
These two were at the beginning making stink eyes in summer 2000. They're like the other friends besides Parker. I think they're just always kind of around, but I don't know if we've actually been given their names yet.
Well, there's these two. There's Parker. And then there's separately the some friend you are girl.
No, I think that might be one of these two girls. I think it's a dark-haired one.
I'm not so sure. Yeah, plus it makes you look younger, one girl says. Like a baby, you know. This is when Jeff's tracking up the camera. And she like turns it downward. Like we get Jeff's camera POV. She's just not taking like my man Jeff seriously, even though he's going to be a suspect.
Yeah.
And then as she walks past Parker, she's like, that Radiohead song you played the other night was really cool. What?
I mean, what song is this? Like from Kid A? Like what are you talking about?
I think are we even at
Kid A? Oh, wait, it's not Kid A. OK Computer.
Okay, yeah.
It would have to be. That was 97, and the Kid A was not out yet, I don't think.
I thought it was really cool how you press play on Paranoid Android.
Mm-hmm.
Or, ooh, how on the nose, Karma Police. Shame we can't afford the rights to that song ever on the show.
Or like that's some not how we cover. Talked about music back then. There was a cachet to like knowing music. Like it would be embarrassing to be like, that was a cool radio song you played. Like that'd be like, who the fuck is this dork? You know what I mean? Like, that's not how we talked about music.
No, no. Way to Pearl Jam, my dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Isabella walks over to like the booklet of CDs, which I guess is
the Parker's. Sacred booklet of CDs. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like Parker runs over, stop her. And she's like, no one touches the book, especially strangers. And Isabella's like, oh, I come in peace. And she wants to see what Brent has for music. And Parker's like, it's not Brent's, it's hers. And she's like, oh, that makes sense because I didn't believe Brent had such great taste in music. It's like, okay, this is so obvious. Like, come on, Parker. See through this shit. So Parker tells her to go help Luke put on a sunscreen. He's starting to look red. He's like rubbing his neck later in a weird way. I don't know if that's supposed to be a suntan thing or if we're going to find out he's got an allergy or something that's going to tie into the mystery. I don't know.
God, he's boring.
In the background, two dudes are like tossing around a football lamely. One might be Freddy. On the soundtrack, you can hear one of them say, who wants to go skinny dipping?
There's also the... though. Ooh, nice swimsuit. I have one just like it in a different color. Ha ha ha.
No charm. No game.
Well, her
no.
reply is like, maybe we can trade. It's like, I don't know. If we were trying to get flirty, I feel like there's something else you could have said there that's like a little bit better, you know?
Well, and like, at the moment, I can only think of good lines for Brent. Yeah. Nice bikini. I like to see on the floor of my bedroom, you know, something like that. Winter 99, Luke and Isabella and Megan are meeting outside the police station. They've told Luke the plan. He's upset that he has to let everyone continue to think that he cheated on Megan. Isabella's like, oh, knowing your crew, you probably get like a round of drinks out of this.
Probably. And also, like, you guys are all three sitting around talking in broad daylight loudly. In public. So
we're a cop behind you.
Yeah, clearly, like, I don't know. Like, what kind of secret are you really keeping here?
Yeah.
If you're
yeah.
all going to continue to be totally cool with each other.
Yeah.
The like, easy excuse is that was made before we started dating, but then there's less drama in the show. So they have to pretend.
Like, not from my dad. He scheduled a family meeting for tonight. I'm going to get crucified. Which, okay. I'm sorry. Is it a hearing? It's just a family meeting. Get fucking serious.
I would just like to point out that the closed caption on this, they misspell reeks because he says this reeks of Brent. That's spelled W-R-E-A-K-S. LOL.
Oof. He points at publicly embarrassing Steve Chambers is a pretty major offense. Which this dude could totally spin and make it a public outrage if someone filmed his child. Well,
why is nobody talking about, like, why did this happen? Like, either somebody is trying to embarrass, like, his son or one of these girls, or they're trying to, like, you know, sabotage his business deal or something. Like, clearly, like, this is motivated by something. Like, do they really think this kid just played his own sex tape, like, to impress people or something?
What a kink.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like, I got a girl who's way out of my league and I want to show everyone.
Yeah. There's a weird kind of fake conflict here where he's just like, I'll do whatever you tell me to, whatever plan you want. I'll handle my brother. And Megan or Isabella is just like, you handle Brent? He's like, yeah. And she's like, that'll ever happen. And he's like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? And she's like getting in his face like, oh, Megan's always been there for you. You owe her. If you don't make this right, Luke, blah, blah. And it's like, why are these two arguing all of a sudden?
Well, but this implies that in the summer 99 leading to winter 99, like, we're going to see some Brent shenanigans, which I feel like this episode, whether granted it's in the future stuff, has told us that Brent is not a character of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they bring up the Jeff thing again, or maybe it was a team up between Jeff and Brent.
And then they're like really getting in each other's faces, and Megan's trying to break up Luke and Isabella, and he calls her just a tourist. This is all our town. And then like a cop in the background's like, hey, Luke, can you give me a hand with these evidence boxes I'm loading into the back of my car for some reason?
Yeah, these two boxes.
Yeah, and he's like, just a second, sir. Like, he's like, just lay low until I talk to Brent.
Yeah. So Megan suggests that she and Isabella go home, hands keys over to Isabella so she can drive. Isabella says she's going to drop Megan off, and there's something she wants to do. So summer 2000, the police station. Isabella and Parker have gotten out of the car and are like walking in. They pass by some teenagers, including Jeff and Freddie. And Freddie eyes Isabella and says, did you kill Luke so you can have Megan all to yourself? And Jeff, my boy Jeff, who's a huge New Order fan, yells, talk about a bizarre love triangle.
Mm.
Wow.
Parker here has the like really thick-soled like skater shoes. I don't know if this is a particular brand, but I thought like that Vans? Was funny that they've they're like not Vans, but they kind of look like Vans.
Well, Parker says that thing that no one ever says in real life, where she says, just ignore them, they're assholes. Mm-hmm. There has never been a situation in real life where your friend has a problem and some bully verbally says something and you're like, just ignore them.
No. No, you'd be like screaming obscenities at them.
Or you'd be helping them.
Go fuck yourself, you know.
Yeah. Or you'd be like shoulder in the grind, but no one's ever like, just ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
So Isabel says that they're just saying what everyone thinks. She looks over and sees that Megan's sitting in a parked car's passenger seat. So also, Isabel
arrived with Parker, got out of Parker's Mustang passenger side, and then she goes and gets into this other car that I guess Debbie is inside because Megan's in the passenger seat of this other car. I think that's what's
because Debbie's looking for Steve.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's something to read in the fact that like Megan does no driving in this episode. She's not in the driver's seat, if you will. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's giving the show too much credit. But yeah, Isabella sends Parker inside and she like goes and sits in the driver's seat of the car. like, which must be Debbie's. Megan's like, get out. And as well as like, what are you going to tell the sheriff? It's like, didn't we just establish at the end of the last episode that they were going to stick to their quote unquote stories?
I guess just because Megan is like kind of refusing to engage with Isabella, she's still asking. But anyway, it comes out that Isabella is planning to skip town. And Megan's just like, what? Like, you can't just bounce like nothing happened. You're going to leave me the blame. And she's like, I thought you'd be happy I was leaving. She's like, I will be, but until this is over, you're not going anywhere. If you want me to keep my mouth shut, you know, not if you want me to keep my mouth shut.
But they are graduated from high school now, right?
Presumably, yes. Yes, it's be summer. Find out
that Isabella is still a minor, but the others might not be, depending on birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Well, Luke's dead. Never to be an adult.
Good. He would have been a monster anyway. Megan won't be happy to never see Isabella again, but not until this is over, and not if Isabella wants Megan to keep her mouth shut. So Isabella apparently feels that she has more to lose in this situation, but Megan gets out of the car. So cut to winter 99. Isabella's looking on the Chambers house. The angle of this house is weird as usual.
It's really like, I don't think this is all the same building type of vibe.
No. It's like three different buildings that they've cobbled together. But I think even at one point, the pool looks different than the one we saw in the party at the end of the pilot. So anyways, no one appears to be home. So Isabella like walks off and runs into Parker out of fucking nowhere.
Very suspicious Parker. What are you doing here? I was looking for Brent. And she's like, she dated Brent. And she's worried that Brent might have made some sex tapes of her because he asked her one time and she said no, but like maybe he like secretly filmed him fucking anyway. She's got weird lightning bolt earrings.
Yeah. The another fucking maniacally obtuse thing of logic is coming from Parker here, but they need to get in this house and like she's going to help Parker look for a hide a key. And they go around trying every door, which, goddamn, how many external doors are there? Mm-hmm. Is this like the production office where they're filming or something? Is this a business center? Yeah. Why are
they're
so
also
many
both
doors?
Wearing jackets and it's supposed to be summertime, but whatever, you know, Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
there's weird shot like from inside the window where it rack focuses from a block of knives to them outside. I don't know if we're supposed to take anything from that.
Yeah. Parker's surprised that Megan hasn't kicked Isabella out. And at one point, Isabella, you should be like, oh yeah, we should tweak our fucking story.
Yeah.
When you get a lot of these questions. Isabella goes and gets a plant holder and just like chucks it through the glass windows.
I feel like this was supposed to be badass, but it just like, I don't know. There's something about it that didn't play that way to me.
No, she's just all calm and like coming. Mm-hmm. So summer 99, Isabella is like cutting up some limes and like Brent comes over to hit on her. And he's like, you need some help with that. And she's like squeezing a lime. And he's like, oh, we squeeze limes differently here.
Just a lot of dumb double entendres about squeezing things.
They're like 1.5 entendres of that. Yeah, she threatens to tell Parker. And he's like, chill. I thought you European girls were more open-minded. And she's like, I am open-minded, just not European.
Okay? Yes, I'm just a normal American.
Yeah. I'm Xander's friend. Yeah. Then Megan shows up with her open backpack, which is psycho behavior. She has like Isabella stash her open backpack behind the like outdoor bar for her as Isabella's made lemonade with no booze. And again, the way this is written, the way it's played is all wrong. It's meant to play upon the idea that we know that Megan doesn't drink, but she's like all happy of herself. She's like, I pay attention. Details are everything. Did you know that she was actually coming? Did you know she was coming now? Like, how did you have the lemonade and wait for her?
Yeah, it's just odd more than interesting. It just feels kind of stilted.
Yeah, Isabella's face as Megan walks off taking a sip of this lemonade is frustration. Like, she's a tough nut to crack. Winter of 99. I'm just speeding through now because the show upsets me.
Just go for it. My only comment this winter of 99 scene where they break in to, like, steal some, like, family or tapes or whatever is that, like, wouldn't you assume that maybe this like rich ass family has alarms on their house or something?
Yeah. They have to walk along a whole back wall of windows parallel to the pool. They get to a mirrored cabinet. Also, the layout of this living room is fucking insane. Like where the chairs are in relation to the TV. No fucking way.
And also, it's like, oh, here's a stash of videos. Like, do we take them with us? No, let's just like tear out a little bit of the tape and throw it on the ground and stomp on it. Like, I don't know. I feel like I would really want to make sure that shit is destroyed. You know.
Well, no, let's dive a little deeper. Parker says that they keep all the movies in here. She's like family videos, sports videos, you know, Jurassic Park on VHS, also the sex tapes.
Yeah.
So Isabella says could be any of them, and Parker's like, oh, could be none of them. So they start like tearing out the Mylar tape and like stomping on them. And then Parker steps in when Isabella's about to rip up a Christmas 88, and she's like, oh no. Their mom is alive then. So Parker takes it upon herself to rescue what are probably the family tapes and save those.
I just feel like if I was either Luke or who is it, Brent? And I was like, you know, recording my sexcapades, I wouldn't just put them in there with like the family videos. I would
no.
I would definitely not want them there.
We're going to get to that in just a second. But yeah, so she's like, here's a bunch of Brent's sport tapes. And there's like a pointed line that doesn't go anywhere where she's like, oh, I don't know, want to know what he calls sports. Yeah. Well, in this context, he probably calls sports sports.
Yeah.
So they throw these tapes on the carpet, start humping on them. For 5 seconds on the soundtrack, we get Bitch by Meredith Brooks as they're hopping up and down. Oh. This is insane. And then this is where it gets more insulting. Parker starts to storm off and says, I know where Brent keeps a special stash in his room. Why the fuck didn't you start there?
Yeah, really. Okay, two things about the I'm a Bitch thing. Number one is that like there's too many needle drops in this that lasts for like 5 seconds. It's like if you're going to pay the money, like get your money's worth out of it.
Yeah.
Number two is on the subtitles. It says like in subtitles, Alanis Morissette, I'm a bitch, I'm a lover.
Wow. Wow.
The fucking Zoomer is doing the closed captioning for this.
Seriously. So then they hear the garage door opening. They run out of the broken window that they made. Summer 99 in the garage, doors opening. It's kind of a match cut. And it's Luke and Isabella. They're seemingly looking for tiki torches, but they're actually looking for fireworks. It's weird. They're going to take tiki torches with them, but later they've got the fireworks. I was actually more bothered by the tiki torches because I was like, number one, that has a nasty context in post-Trump world. But like, I was like, we saw the party. We saw this pool area at night in the pilot. You don't need external lighting that you have to set up yourself. Why would you need tiki torches? Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Although I feel like we can reclaim tiki torches. I think the Nazis don't own those. Fuck those guys.
Why would you? Who gives a shit about tiki torches?
They're for parties at the pool, man. That's what they're for.
Yeah. So Luke is like, what's going on with you and Megan? And he says that, you know, she's not good at letting people in, but she's the most loyal friend. Like, help you bury a body loyal. And I don't even want to recount their dialogue. It's so dumb.
It's so dumb.
But, you know, Luke tells her just be herself because she's awesome. Nobody, you can't trust anybody who's just met you and tells you to just be yourself.
Yeah. And she's like, can you put in a good word for me? And he's like, oh, yeah, already done. Whatever. Back to winter 99. We know it's winter because it's blue everywhere. This is the aftermath of the smashed door and the broken videotapes on the floor, like the Chambers' house.
The scheduled family meeting.
Mm-hmm. Steve Chambers, the real 5 o'clock shadows. He's real mad, you know. He's just like, tape is a gift that keeps on giving, huh?
Yeah.
What's next? Somebody gonna come burn down our house?
Didn't anybody have a beard, though? Can you have a beard in 5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah, I don't know. But there's some discussion over like whose tape it is. And it's like,
are there more?
Luke is like, it's Brent. It's clearly Brent. And Brent's just like, no, it's not. And Luke's like, you're totally fucking lying. And the dad's just like, just stop.
So again, this way, this played to me is either most likely just bad writing or two, it seems more like Steve is hiding his own thing and like cleaning up after these guys is only complicating that.
Well, he has the line where he says, you have no idea what this might cost our family. So it's like, okay, I guess that's like the business deal. Like his investors were nonplussed by the, you know, kiddie porn sex tape lane.
Well, the only good line is, you know, when Luke says that he's sorry and Steve's like, well, if I were you, I would say that to Megan. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But I just invite you to look at where the two chairs are and then look where the TV actually is. You're not sitting there to watch that TV. That's insane.
Not in a house of all dudes. Okay. Like
yeah.
my mother is notorious for like designing living room arrangements where it's like, hey, how are we going to watch TV? But yeah, this is just a bunch of dudes here. Like there's no way that they just have like all like armchairs facing the TV.
Especially since at least one of them is a sports dude.
Mm-hmm.
There's a PlayStation 1 involved in their lives. This is like one of those like fancy fucking houses that like, ooh, it looks really nice, but like clearly nobody lives here.
Yeah.
Also looks like it's the corner of like the common area of like a hotel, which it probably is. So cut to summer 2000. Steve is walking out the police station through a side door. It's like a no smoking area. He's like unwrapping a pack of cigarettes.
Where is this supposed to be?
I think it's the police station.
Okay.
Yeah. Another part of a location that you can barely see, and if you're not paying attention,
can you at least give me an establishing shot, even if it's like clearly not the same building? Just give me something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like these people making this show have never made TV before.
Yeah.
So Debbie shows up and she's like, "Oh, there's 8 years down the drain." And he's like, "Oh, it's not true. I cheated once before."
This dude just found out that his kid is dead, and you're like, "I don't know. You really want to be smoking right now? Like, fuck off."
Yeah. Also, she's her all affect is like, "I'm the lady from church."
Also, weren't you like a drug addict in winter 99? Like, what was happening there? Yeah.
But like, her whole act is like, "I'm a lady from church." Nothing about these two's thing implies that they've like had sex, let alone dated or whatever. So Debbie says,
"All these characters are so boring."
Yeah, she said she's sorry she's there for him. He won't look at her, and he's like, "Oh, you may not want to be. I feel like I'm cursed or being punished for something off screen that I've done. First Jane and then Luke."
Just like, "My son's death is all about me."
Yeah. That, you know, even as the weeks and months went by with no word, I just kept thinking he was going to come home. It's like, no, you didn't. You killed him. Mm-hmm. There's a rock riff playing as we cut to summer 99.
Oh, cut to summer 99, where just like incompetent ass Isabella here is like pouring some club soda into like a red
like lemon lime cup. Soda. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like, oops, spilled it all over the backpack underneath the bar. Like, what are you doing? Like, either you did that on purpose, which I hope, or you're like a complete dunce.
Or you've been hopefully drinking something more serious, because yeah, you like look like it. Eh, whatever, some real slippery
fingers. There's so many ways. Like I, if you wanted it to not be an accident, you could communicate that filmically. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But instead we're Megan's, just like, I don't know what to do with this. Maybe it was an accident.
Megan's psycho behavior of her open backpack.
Mm-hmm. Well, that she's got her like illicit white pills right at the top of, not like tucked down at the bottom or anything like that.
No, or in a side pocket or whatever. Yeah. But Isabel sees that, she's like, oh. So she glances over, sees that Megan's now in her swimsuit in the pool. It's a swimsuit, it's not quite a bikini.
Megan, are you doing caffeine pills?
Yeah, seriously. After the commercial, it's still summer 99. It's night now. Fireworks are going off. Megan's in the water, perhaps playing Marco Polo by herself.
Yeah, what a fucking loser.
Well, like,
I feel like the rest of these kids here are like, hey, tell her we're going to play Marco Polo and like count to 100. And they just all start fucking each other while she's doing that.
She turns around. There's an orgy. Cool. But like, other than 2 minutes of Luke and like 3 minutes of Isabella, I don't think any of these other fucking kids like her at all.
No, Megan has come off as sort of like standoffish loner, like think she's better than everyone. That's kind of the what I think everyone else would be thinking of her.
Yeah. So Brett and Parker are making out in the pool. This is where She's So High by Tal Bachman is playing. He's the one hit wonder Nepo babe from the 90s. He's related to the rock stars behind the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive. The song, according to him on Wikipedia, is about the cool girl that he was trying to get to date his stepbrother. Anyway, Megan's in the water watching
real
the fireworks
quick on
go
the
off.
Music thing. I know this is a tangent, and we've already talked too long about this stupid episode. You know, there's like a common belief that like the music you think is the best is like the music that was like popular when you were coming of age, right? It's like, oh, you just happen to think that that era is the best era for music. I feel like for us, it's not true, because like 1999, like 98 to like 2002 is just like horrible music, just like the worst music ever, you know? So what do we do with that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I, what am I going to stand up in front of a room of my peers and be like, actually Eagle Eye Cherry is one of the best music artists of all time. We have,
you guys understand, Newfound Glory, really, you know, they had something going for them.
Yeah. Oh, might I preach the gospel of Joan Osborne to you? Like, we had a couple of
what
nuggets.
About Limp Bizkit?
Nope.
Or Creed or Nickelback?
Nope. Well, was that more? That was more 2000s.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like when we came of age was like 98 to 2002 ish. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be like in theory our era. But that's the worst music, maybe until like the current era. You know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know. I mean, 20 years from now, whatever the similar podcast of this, where these kids are like, they're like in their 30s and 40s, and they're just like, we grew up in the era of like wet ass pussy.
Yeah. I mentioned this because apparently like Zoomers are really into like that. It's 20 years later, so they're really into all that terrible music from that era now. And it's like, no, nobody like that.
Well, the 90s is also a bizarre time because we were we were like fetishizing like the everything in the 30 years leading up to the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Big 70s.
We had our Britpop period. We had our 70s. We were obsessed with the 80s for a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Megan's in the water watching the fireworks go off. On the edge of the...
There's very much a her watching Luke and Isabella dance, but like very focused on Isabella. That I can only assume they're trying to suggest that there's like an attraction here or something. She's kind of like taken as the She's So High song plays. She's so taken with Isabella, watching Isabella dance. And like, there's some sort of like jealousy. I want to be you. I want you. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to really be getting here from this.
It's like four seasons of like Emerson and Mona and Allison combined into a poorly executed scene. Well, I mean, like the direction to Isabella is like, hold these sparklers and just kind of move your arms in a weird, awkward pattern.
It's not.
We're
going to
put
well
in
done.
Slow-mo. Yeah.
Maybe we're I just almost, it's we're just supposed to have it be more like a jealousy thing. Like, I wish I could be free-spirited like you or something.
Yeah. It's kind of insane that that nebulous reading actually is salvaged by what's on screen. You know, as bad as this show is, like, I want to buy the editors a drink because I can't imagine how hard their job was. Like, later, Megan goes out to the pool to dry off and Luke comes over and, like, offers her sparklers. And she's like, oh, thanks, Pyro. She assumes that this was Isabella's idea. He's, like, telling her to cut Isabella some slack, be nicer to her. And across the party, Isabella's watching this.
I don't know. What emotion should we take from this? Is she scheming? Is she...
It's all coming into place. My master plan.
Or is she just like hoping that the person she has to live with for the next year isn't a completely stuck up bitch to her? You know?
So winter 99, Megan and Isabella are sitting beside a fire outside their house. And Isabella's like caught Megan up at what she's been doing. And Megan is shocked to hear Isabella threw a planner through the door of the Chambers house. And Isabella...
That's so badass.
Yeah. There's nothing she wouldn't do for her girl, she says. And Megan says she doesn't know what she'd do without Isabella. And she's like, don't sweat it. You're stuck with me. I'm not going anywhere. Ugh.
I mean, there's like, you know, they could be steering into like some sort of heavenly creatures-ish something here. But I just don't think the show is. That would be interesting.
Isabella says, well, are they going to kill Debbie? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Isabella says this will all blow over soon. Then everything will get back to normal. So let's scissor. No, I mean,
I assume we're supposed to think that like maybe they killed Luke or something and that like they're secretly, because somebody makes a comment, maybe it's earlier in the episode, maybe it's later, about the two of them or something, of like one of them being in love with the other or something like that.
Jeff, my boy Jeff. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Freddie.
Yeah.
Bizarre love triangle. Which, if this was an 80s show, cool. You could play the fucking song, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, maybe they were having an argument at the cabin with Luke and like Isabella pushed him and he tripped and he banged the back of his head like people do. Whoever first wrote that into TV and it became a trope. Do you get you get it?
Yeah.
The new like WGA negotiations, do you get a check from the tropes?
Is somebody like, hey, every time there's like somebody's having a conversation and they put on a tea kettle and it starts to whistle as the conversation gets tense, like me, like 80-year-old dude, like I invented that back in the 70s. So you have to pay me every time you do that.
Well, I mean, I guess it'd be really interesting if you could narrow it down to the writer, the director, the editor. But yeah, like every time like the train goes into the thing, we're indicating sex. It's just like cha-ching. There's my 22 cents. Summer 99. Megan's by herself in the hot tub. Isabella gets in with her.
What do you think? Did you notice Isabella gets into the hot tubs? Like, mind if I join you? Sits right next to her. I'd be like, hey, you know, there's a lot of room in this hot tub. You didn't need to sit right next to me.
Why aren't you sitting
in the urinal right next to mine, you know?
Why aren't you sitting across from me, psychopath?
So we can look at each other. Yeah.
The fuck is this? So she points out that the real party is in Megan's bag, and I guess Miss Squeaky Clean has her share of dirt.
This is like so minor, like the whole Adderall thing. It's like, we're really going to make a big deal out of this? I don't know. Like, this show would be a lot more interesting if it was just like, yeah, what of it, you know?
I just try to remember where we were with Adderall in 99. I don't think it was as prevalent.
I think it was like a little more underground. I remember learning about Adderall like right as I was getting out of college and be like, wait, that existed? Nobody told me? That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I was told about its existence from my good friend Elizabeth Wurzel.
Mm, yes.
One of her many books. Megan asks if she's a, what does she say, like a klepto or something? Yeah. Says she's actually recovering in Megan's bag or protecting her secret stash. I was protecting your bag, you know, from me. Isabel says that everyone here says they know Megan so well, but they clearly don't. Isabel doesn't judge. So Megan's like, oh, the pills are for school, to stay up late, to study. Isabel points out this gives her an advantage, which is like, okay, I don't know that the show is inviting it, but there is a potential racial element here. You're like, yeah, you got an advantage. You have yet another advantage.
No, but the show, it's clearly like dancing around that. I kind of suspect that this script was not written with any particular casting in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why it's just like, it's never brought up really in the episodes. Like, it the script kind of makes more sense to me if they're supposed to look a lot alike.
Yes. Yeah. It would make a lot of sense.
It would make much more sense. Yes.
The merging of, identities and things.
And mistaking one of them for the other in a video. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So Megan says that, you know, she's doing what she has to get what she wants. And then Isabel's like, well, ladies and gentlemen, the real Megan Landry has entered the building and fireworks are going off. Isabel's like, well, we don't have to get along, but we should find a way to be okay with each other, which is the definition of getting along. Mm-hmm. And Isabel's like, don't worry, your advantage is safe with me. Which, again, is just another of her many, like coded phrases to make Megan under her thrall or, like, beholden to her.
Yeah, but it doesn't land, you know? I know, no, it's like, no. I can see what they think they're doing, but, it's just the writing isn't there.
So Megan lays her head back and, like, looks up at us in the camera. This is an interesting shot, but it's not an interesting context for this shot.
I feel like we would have needed to get this pose several times in the episode sort of thing, you know, if, like, you're really trying to do anything with this shot.
Yeah. So summer 2000, Parker's in the interrogation with the Sheriff Meyer. We're going to get kind of a weird, not quite a montage, but like a cross-cutting. They kind of get an Aaron Brockovich scene.
Or like a inside man, like interrogation or something, you know, we're getting all the various parties.
So Parker's with the sheriff and he's like, when's the last see Luke? And she's a New Year's Eve party. She says that he was wearing those stupid glasses, you know, the 2000 ones. And the sheriff's like, yes, indeed. Those were stupid glasses. How do you do those in, 2024, I wonder? So she says his mood seemed fine. He was happy. And then we float into another teen girl's interrogation. This is one of the baby oil girls.
I think this is the, like, what a good friend you are. There's so much for being her best friend.
I don't think it's her.
You don't think it's her? Okay.
I don't think it's her. At least the blonde chick is, like, identifiable with her bleach blonde
hair.
She's
the blonde chick. Yeah. At least we have that going for us.
But she says that Luke and Megan got past the shit in the tape. They were all kissy at the party. Sheriff asks if anyone saw Luke leave the party. Then we're in Jeff's interrogation. And he's like, oh, yeah, he left with Megan. The two of them seem really chill. Jeff's like, by the way, I want to address some accusations. I'm not a psychopath. I don't take photos.
I just like filming my friends, you know, to capture us the memories. Memories are important.
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe I'll do something with this in like 20 years, like kind of like an after sun thing. I don't know.
I'm helping to create the video yearbook or something. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't fucking know. I only know this one click of people. Yeah.
Whatever. The CD-ROM in the back of the yearbook.
The CD-ROM of the yearbook. Remember when we did that for 2 years? Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the sheriff asked about Isabella or in the interrogation room with the blonde girl who has a scar on her forehead.
Yeah. That's
fun to point that out because it's interesting. It's the other baby old girl. She says that Megan and Isabella were fighting, that they used to be besties and so close.
Okay, who's this other guy who's next? Is this Freddy?
This might be Freddy.
Okay.
There is a dude in here that we've never seen before.
There's this one guy who's like, I was bummed that Isabella left because she was my number one resolution.
Yeah, this is,
and the sheriff Freddy. Just looks at him like, you fucking asshole.
Yeah. Another interrogation, the sheriff says, sounds like a crazy night. And we get this brand new dude who's like, yeah, it was dope. People thought the world was going to end, but obviously it didn't. And the sheriff's like, no, I don't think Luke would see it that way.
Because he's dead.
And the guy should be like, Luke who? I don't know why I'm here, man. I don't know these people. You haven't seen me in a single scene so far.
And he's talking to Megan, the sheriff is, and he's just
also
like,
no comment, though, after the scene with the coroner's report about like when Luke might have died. How long was he in the water? Because we could very well be getting a fucked up timeline thing where he went in the water like 2 weeks ago and not like six months.
I think they're
ago.
Intentionally being vague so that they can
have wiggle room
as they go. But yeah, so the sheriff's asking Megan, so you and Luke dated last summer and then he broke up and he started seeing Megan. That's right.
Wouldn't that be when the sex tape was from, guys? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just the sheriff of this little town, but that's what I would have said personally.
Well, and then he's like, and then came that business with the, and she's like, an illegally recorded tape of us having sex. And he's like, things sure changed after that, didn't they? It's like, oh, so we are acknowledging that, like, the crime was somebody else recording and playing that tape, not her having sex. Like, we've moved past that.
Yeah. But also, unlike the other kids that we've seen interviewed, Debbie's in the scene with her.
Yeah. Also, they're still going with the "it was Isabella" thing. So presumably that secret has not gotten out in the past 6 months.
Right. But yeah, so even though I don't know what the actual rules were in 99 or what would have thought, but to a modern audience, this would be a thing. But like, so this implies that Isabella's a minor. She said she's a minor. Debbie's there. So the others are all over 18. So he asks why she's still in town after everything she's been through. And she's like, "Oh, you mean, why didn't I let myself get run out of town? The girl who has a plane ticket to Paris on Tuesday." Mm-hmm. But Debbie wants to leave. But Isabella tells her, like, "Oh, sit down. She says,
sit down, Debbie. I've got this." Yeah.
Like, she's going to outwill the sheriff or whatever. Mm-hmm. He points out that he talked to her a while back when Luke first disappeared, and that she said she was ready to leave town the moment school ended. In fact, he was pretty sure she already had a plane ticket then. She points out that that's true. Debbie got sick, so she decided to stay and help out, which that's insane. He points out she's also got a history, you know, 3 schools in 3 years, which is a pattern. And I'm like, if all the moving and what have you, it's not much of a pattern.
Yeah, unless... it is like, do they still think that she's an ambassador's daughter here? I guess. Yeah.
He says, "Trouble seems to follow you everywhere you go." That's not true. I guess unless you're talking about us.
How dare you?
She starts to stand because, you know, where were you facing down this beast, you know, 2 seconds ago? But she starts to stand and he says, "We're not done." And she's like, yeah, they are. That she's not saying another word about her lawyer. And so, yeah, he got under your skin clearly. So outside the interrogation room, they pass that other cop who was in the 2 scenes previously. And he's like, he goes to the sheriff and he's like, "What kind of 17-year-old knows when to ask for a lawyer?" And he's like, "Oh, one who's asked for one before."
Or somebody who watched TV. One of those two.
Yeah.
By the way, I had a good idea for the title of the next troll book. We can discuss that after the pod.
Great. By the way, people, always lawyer up. Mm-hmm. Always. Cops are not your friends. Winter 99. Brent comes down from their fancy glass stairs and runs into Luke.
Brent with this, like, what is that, like a lacrosse shirt on or something? Or no, rugby Maybe. Shirt. That's what it is.
Steve has left for the business center. Brent says, "You mean the one that's in our living room? Because we live in a hotel." Brent says that it was, you know, not one of his tapes. And Luke says that Brent must have a whole collection. He asks if he even cares about these girls. It's like, what the fuck do you think? Why would you even ask the guy if a bunch of sex tapes?
It's like, little brother. I don't know if you realize or not, but the only reason girls have sex with us is because we're the rich boys.
Yeah. Smell my fucking fist. That's right. That's how up into this shit I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a shot from up higher, like indicates there's 3 floors of this house. Like a hotel. Brent sits on the steps, a level of his little bro. This scene is so just flat and stilted. And he's like, "Look, these skanks love the attention." He dated a girl named Jenny freshman year. She would film everything they did. That's how he got the idea. These girls love being small town famous. When Isabella's 40, she's going to look back and think that one of these best days of her life. That's insane.
I don't think so. But the gist of this is he's just like, "Look, I wouldn't have played the tape. Like, that's stupid. Like, I'm not going to like get on.
I don't have a death wish." Side.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, which makes sense. Brent is aware of the system that protects him. Mm-hmm. Summer 99.
Some Duncan Sheik claim.
Yeah. Fucking Duncan Sheik. Yeah. You can't defend this music. No one's going to bat for Duncan Sheik.
We're still in the pool at night. There's still sparklers and whatnot. We're focusing on Luke and Isabella. They're on like the little floaty foam, like snake things. She
delivers a lot of her lines of dialogue. Like there's this baked in whimsy that does not exist. Mm-hmm. Because they are in a pool, floating on a pool noodle. And she's like, "I love night swimming."
He's talking about his mom, whatever. Is this her? Then she's like, "Oh no, my earring, it's gone." She definitely like took the earring off herself and like dropped it on the bottom of the pool, right?
Yeah.
Cause he's like, "I'll find it for you." And he like looks down underwater and it's like directly below him. And he's like, "Here it is." And then they kiss.
The affect of this scene is the same as actors rehearsing the dialogue as if they, so to make sure they remember the dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like there's no acting injected in this. The story he tells is so bad. He should probably have had swum to the shore, gotten his wallet out of his shorts and paid her $1 for having had to listen to. I mean, the punchline is like, "My mom only had one rule when it came to night swimming. She couldn't get her hair wet. She always got her hair wet." That's it. That's my story.
By the way, the earring was special. Her friend Lisa gave it to her. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's directly under her. Mm-hmm. And so they start to kiss as the fireworks keep going off. Who is setting all these fireworks now?
It's a lot of fucking fireworks. Those fireworks are not cheap, okay?
No.
Yeah.
But like, this is a point where what you would call probably like illegal fireworks, mm-hmm. which they're just sitting in your garage. No way. So Megan's watching all this and pouting. Megan does a lot of pouting.
She's just a lot staring. Of yeah. It just feels like we've been doing this with Megan for two whole episodes now, where she just watches other people have fun and be like, it's like, are you jealous? I guess. Is it that just you wish that could be you, or that you could be the kind of person that would do something like that? Yeah.
I feel bad that, and obviously it was setting her up for a fall, but like, you got to see this actor like actually enjoy being this character for just a few scenes in the Winter 99 of the pilot. Like actually like crack a smile and what have you. Winter 99, speaking of which, Luke is holding Megan in her bed. He's talking about how Brent gets a free pass for everything and that Luke's a constant disappointment. That's true. His dad doesn't like him because he's not a jock. I have
no interest in business.
Yeah. He was on a sex tape at his big party, and on top of it, everyone thinks that he cheated on her. So she asks if Brent knows it's Megan on the tape, and he says no, but that Brent stopped watching once he saw Luke was on the tape and still thinks it's Isabella.
Everybody stopped watching. You took the tape out. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's not like this was online, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. Or like, oh, thank God we all have a Brazzers account where we can watch it. Yeah. Megan tells Luke that he's the most important in the person in the world, or that he's her ride or die. Meanwhile, pan over to the psychopath Isabella, just like chilling on the stairs, listening to all this with tears in her eyes. I mean, is this platonic friendship, emotional betrayal, or is she in love with Megan?
Really? And so then she comes downstairs, and loser ass Debbie here is like putting a puzzle together at the kitchen table.
She's holding up this puzzle piece as if she's saying, I'm very important to the story. Mm-hmm. Later on, I'll have that crucial piece of information that'll be important. But I don't think that's the case.
And Isabella walks up and says, there's something you need to know, which is what? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So
back to summer 99. We're still at this fucking party. Luke and Isabella have gotten out and they're kind of just like talking to each other in the little like bar area. And Jeff, this is Jeff, right? Jeff comes over to take a Polaroid picture, and
he tries to just shoo like, Megan out of the background. Hey,
Megan, can you get out of the back of the shot? You're ruining the shot. But no, Luke is like, oh no, come get in the shot, Megan. And so it's the picture we saw later. It's like of him between the two of them with his arms around both of them. And they take a picture, and then Isabella requests that he take another one because she thinks she blinked. Was this like just
setting up for more pictures? Yeah.
The photo? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Jeff's like, okay, you're really wasting.
Jeff's like, I will totally burn. Like, you know, I have 12 shots in this cartridge, but I'll definitely take half of them on you.
This is not the cheapest film, the Polaroid film. Thanks. Also, with high school, with superficial as everything is and the mentality and the short attention span and all that stuff, how annoying of a person does Megan have to be for you to like not want anything to do with a girl that cute? Like she's gorgeous, she's adorable, she's fairly hot, and you're just like, God, could you just fucking get away from me?
She's the fucking worst.
She springs rain clouds wherever she goes. Summer 2000, Isabella's getting some pills out of a medicine cabinet, smashing the bottle and like flushing the pills inside, like using a napkin as she's trying not to leave fingerprints on the broken bottle, but she just picked up the bottle with her hands.
I really don't
know what's going on here.
I don't understand why she smashes the bottle and then puts it in the trash. I don't understand what that solves. Is it just so that like you wouldn't just look in the trash can and see a bottle of pills or something? I don't know.
You'd find, I mean, you can't even cut somebody with the plastic of the bottle.
I can only assume it's just so like if somebody were to randomly look down in the trash can, they would not see the bottle of pills.
That's not cinematic though.
Yeah, I don't really understand what the point of it is.
But if it's like a fingerprint thing, you just touched it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a fingerprint thing. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some blue pills that she breaks some of them apart and throws them all in the trash and then the toilet. And then she flushes the toilet while she's on the phone with somebody saying, I need your help. I'm in trouble.
It's her mom.
It's her mom. Yeah.
Yeah. She's flushing those pills. She said, I'm in trouble. Yeah. And mom sounds like an older woman, older voice.
Whatever. Eight more of these. That was Ride or Die. S2E2.
It's got to pick up, right? In some way. I mean, I'm not expecting a lot here, but come on. It's got to get a little better.
Give us something juicy. I don't know. So far, it's just like very pedestrian and boring. Like, I'm not intrigued by all the vagueness. I'm just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah. It's not outrageous. It's just like shoddily assembled.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll be back. The next episode is, if IMDb will load for me here,
Bloody Knuckles.
Bloody Knuckles. Wow. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Until then. Oh, do we have any follow-up? I don't know. Do we? Is there a way for people to follow up with us?
What did we say last time?
I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe I should go listen to one of them. Tweeted us?
You know, tweet at us while you still can. I don't know. What are you going to say in the future? Exit us?
Exit us? Yeah.
No. Threads us? No.
No, we don't have a Threads account, I don't think. Yeah. I'm at JamesTaylor21. You're at Marco Sparks, right?
Yeah.
Is there an underscore? Is it just Marco Sparks?
I think it's just Marco Sparks.
Okay.
Fine. I mean, there is a Twitter account for the podcast. There's a Twitter account for Bros Watch PLO 2. Mm-hmm. You can find us, guys.
If you want to support the pod, rate and review us in iTunes or your podcast listener of choice. If you'd like to do more than that, you'd like to actually enjoy a hopefully much better written mystery, you can check out the books that we've written. There are 3 books in the Trouble Girl Detective Mystery series. The first is called Trouble, one is called My Name is Trouble. And there's also Trouble Always Finds Me and Trouble Takes a Holiday. They're all available on Amazon or wherever you buy books, Apple Books, Kindle. You can order it through Barnes & Noble, whatever. They exist. You should get them. They're a lot more fun than this show, for sure.
And they would almost have to be.
Yeah. Well, let's not sell ourselves that short. But yeah, no, they're fun. They're, if you actually like a mystery that, like, if you've listened to everything that we've nitpicked the shit out of in this episode, just, it's a kind of book where we've actually tried to think about the story that we're telling and plug some holes, plug some logic gaps and actually like make it make sense.
Yep.
Yeah. So check those out. Go to mynameistrouble.com. You can learn all about it, read excerpts, etc. And we'll be back next week to talk about Bloody Knuckles.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.